The rain was freezing, slicing through her ruined dress like glass. Her stepmother's taillights faded into the Boston night, leaving her abandoned on the curb. Then a sleek, bulletproof Maybach slid to a halt. The door opened, and the most dangerous man in the city offered his hand. Audrey Montgomery pressed herself against the cold leather door of the leased Cadillac Escalade, trying to take up as little space as possible. The heavy, suffocating scent of her stepmother's Chanel number 5 mixed with the anxious sweat of her two stepsisters Chloe and Madison, creating a toxic atmosphere in the cramped SUV. Outside, a torrential nor'easter battered the streets of Boston, turning the historic cobblestones of Commonwealth Avenue into slick, treacherous rivers. Tonight was the Beacon Hill Founders Gala, an ultra-exclusive, invite-only masquerade that dictated the social hierarchy of the city's elite. For Patricia Harrington, Audrey's stepmother this night was the culmination of months of desperate social climbing. The Harrington family fortune had dried up 3 years ago when Audrey's biological father died in a mysterious boating accident, leaving Patricia drowning in debt. The only reason they were even invited tonight was because of Audrey's bloodline. The Montgomery name still held weight among the old money purists of New England. But Patricia had no intention of letting Audrey share the spotlight. "Don't breathe so heavily, Audrey, you're fogging up the windows," Patricia snapped from the front passenger seat, adjusting her diamond earrings in the visor mirror. The diamonds were fake, but Patricia wore them with terrifying conviction. "I'm sorry," Audrey murmured, her fingers nervously twisting the fabric of her dress. It was a pale sapphire chiffon gown she had spent the last 3 weeks altering by hand, salvaged from a vintage thrift store in Cambridge. It was nothing compared to the $5,000 designer gowns her stepsisters wore, but for once, Audrey felt beautiful. That was her first mistake. "Mother, she's stepping on my train!" Chloe shrieked, suddenly violently, yanking her crimson silk skirt away from Audrey's scuffed heels. There was a loud, sickening rip. The Escalade fell dead silent. The sound of the windshield wipers suddenly seemed deafening. Chloe stared at the 2-inch tear at the hem of her gown, her face contorting into a mask of pure rage. "You ruined it. You clumsy, useless brat. You ruined my night. I didn't even move, Chloe, I swear," Audrey pleaded, pressing herself harder against the door. "It was just caught under your own heel." "Pull over, Richard," Patricia commanded the driver, her voice dropping to a dangerous, icy whisper. "Ma'am, we're in the middle of a flood warning," the hired driver protested, glancing at the relentless sheets of rain pounding the windshield. "There's no shelter here." "I said pull the car over," Patricia barked. The Escalade swerved aggressively to the right tires, scraping against the wet curb before jerking to a halt in front of a darkened iron-gated park. Patricia turned around in her seat, her perfectly manicured hand pointing at the door next to Audrey. "Get out." Audrey's heart plummeted into her stomach. "Patricia, please. We're miles from the estate. I don't have my phone. I don't have an umbrella. I don't even have my coat. It's freezing outside." "You should have thought of that before you tried to sabotage your sister out of petty jealousy," Patricia said, her eyes flashing with a cruelty that chilled Audrey more than the storm outside. "You were only coming to scan your invitation at the door anyway. We'll tell the host you fell ill. Now get out of this car before I have Richard throw you out." Madison, sitting on the other side of Chloe, let out a mean, muffled giggle behind her hand. Tears pricked Audrey's eyes, but she refused to let them fall. She had spent the last 3 years swallowing her pride, acting as a glorified maid in her own home, sleeping in the drafty converted attic, while her stepfamily squandered her inheritance. But this abandoning her on a desolate, flooded street in the dead of night was a new level of depravity. Realizing there was no arguing with the woman, Audrey unbuckled her seatbelt. With trembling hands, she pushed the heavy car door open. The moment she stepped out, The storm hit her like a physical blow. The freezing rain instantly plastered her hair to her face and soaked her chiffon dress through to her skin. Before she could even close the door, Patricia slammed it shut from the inside. The lock clicked with a sharp final sound. Audrey stood on the flooded pavement, the icy water soaking through her thin shoes, and watched as the red taillights of the Escalade accelerated away, disappearing into the blinding rain. She was completely alone. Audrey wrapped her arms around her shivering body, her teeth chattering violently. The streetlights flickered above her, casting long, eerie shadows across the deserted sidewalk. She began to walk, having no destination in mind, just knowing she had to keep moving, or she would freeze to death. The sapphire dress clung to her legs, heavy and ruined. Her mother's silver locket, the only thing of value she owned, felt like a block of ice against her collarbone. As she stumbled past a darkened alleyway, the sheer weight of her reality crushed her. Her father was gone. Her home was stolen. She was a ghost in her own life. Unable to hold it in any longer, Audrey collapsed onto a wet stone bench beneath a dying oak tree and began to sob. Her cries were swallowed by the roar of the thunder. She thought she had hit absolute rock bottom. She had no idea that the night was about to take a turn into a reality far darker and infinitely more dangerous than anything she could have imagined. 10 minutes passed. Or maybe it was an hour. Audrey's tears had stopped, replaced by a dangerous numb lethargy. The early stages of hypothermia were setting in. The bustling sounds of Boston felt miles away. This particular stretch of the road was deathly quiet, almost unnaturally so. Then the low, powerful purr of a massive engine vibrated through the puddles at her feet. Audrey lifted her head, water dripping from her eyelashes. A convoy of 3 matte black SUVs emerged from the curtain of rain, moving with predatory grace. In the center of the formation glided a vehicle unlike anything Audrey had ever seen up close, a stretched Mercedes-Maybach Pullman, entirely blacked out, looking less like a car and more like a rolling fortress. To her utter shock, the convoy didn't splash past her. The lead and trailing SUVs slowed, blocking the street in both directions, while the Maybach pulled smoothly to the curb, stopping exactly where Audrey sat shivering on the bench. The heavy armored rear door swung open. Audrey instinctively recoiled, her heart hammering against her ribs. In her vulnerable state, a dark car stopping for her was terrifying, but the man who stepped out of the Maybach commanded the space so completely that Audrey's fear was momentarily eclipsed by sheer awe. He didn't rush. He didn't flinch at the freezing rain. He stepped onto the flooded pavement, wearing a flawlessly tailored midnight blue Tom Ford suit, moving with a fluid, terrifying elegance. He was breathtakingly handsome, with sharp, aristocratic features and dark hair that the rain seemed reluctant to touch. But it was his eyes that made Audrey's breath hitch. They were a piercing, luminescent amber, catching the ambient streetlights in a way that looked entirely inhuman. He stood at 6'3", towering over her, and looked down at her shivering form with an unreadable expression. Audrey Montgomery. His voice sliced through the noise of the storm. It was a rich, velvet baritone, carrying a subtle, untraceable accent that spoke of centuries past. You look like a drowned rat. Yet even over the thunder, your pulse is the loudest thing in this city. Audrey blinked her frozen brain, struggling to process his words. How do you know my name? I know many things, the man said smoothly. He took a step closer. As he entered her personal space, Audrey realized 2 terrifying things simultaneously. First, despite the freezing rain, he wasn't shivering. Second, she couldn't see his breath in the cold air. He unbuttoned his suit jacket, shrugging off a heavy cashmere overcoat, and held it out to her. Put this on before your heart gives out entirely. It would be a terrible waste of a Montgomery. Audrey's survival instinct overrode her hesitation. She took the coat, pulling it tightly around her shoulders. It didn't smell like cologne. It smelled like petrichor old books and something inherently metallic like a thunderstorm. "Who are you?" she whispered, her teeth still chattering. "My name is Dorian Ashcroft," he replied, his amber eyes locking onto hers. Audrey gasped. Everyone in the financial world knew the name Ashcroft. He was a reclusive billionaire, a corporate titan, who supposedly owned half of the real estate on the East Coast. But he was practically a myth, never photographed, never seen at public events. Yet here he was, standing in a flooded gutter. "Mr. Ashcroft, I don't understand. Why did you stop?" A dark, dangerous smile played at the corner of Dorian's lips. "Because, little bird, you are sitting in the middle of a hunting ground. And you were left here as bait." Audrey's blood ran cold, colder than the rain. "Bait, what are you talking about?" Dorian didn't answer immediately. He reached out his long, pale fingers, gently brushing against the silver locket resting on her chest. His touch was like dry ice, shockingly unnaturally cold. Audrey gasped, but she didn't pull away. "Your stepmother Patricia is a remarkably greedy woman, but she's not stupid," Dorian said, his voice dropping to a low, hypnotic register. "She owes a very large debt to a syndicate that operates in the shadows of this city. A syndicate that prefers to be paid in rare commodities. The Montgomery bloodline is considered quite the delicacy." Audrey shook her head, feeling dizzy. "Bloodline delicacy. You're not making sense. Tell me, Audrey." Dorian tilted his head, his amber eyes glowing brighter in the darkness. "Did she kick you out of the car in a fit of rage, or did she wait until you crossed the Arlington Bridge precisely at the edge of the Iron Gates before finding an excuse to abandon you?" Audrey's mind raced back to the argument in the car. Patricia had explicitly ordered the driver to stop here, ignoring the driver's protests. She had orchestrated the entire fight. "She planned it," Audrey whispered, a wave of nausea washing over her, as the betrayal truly sank in. Patricia hadn't just kicked her out. She had left her to die. But to who or what, indeed? Dorian said, his gaze shifting to the dark alleyway across the street. Audrey followed his line of sight and felt a scream die in her throat. Two figures were standing in the shadows of the alley. They looked human, but their eyes glowed with a sickly, feral, crimson light, and they were staring at Audrey with ravenous hunger. "They are the hounds," Dorian stated casually, as if pointing out stray dogs. "Low-level scavengers. They were waiting for your stepmother to drop you off. They would have torn you apart within the next 5 minutes, and Patricia's debts would have been cleared by tomorrow morning." Audrey's knees gave out. She would have collapsed onto the wet pavement, but Dorian moved with a speed that defied human physics. 1 second he was standing a foot away, the next his arm was wrapped securely around her waist, holding her upright. His strength was absolute, unyielding like carved marble. The two figures in the alley took a step forward, but Dorian simply turned his head and snarled. It was a terrifying, guttural sound that vibrated in Audrey's chest. The crimson-eyed figures froze in sheer terror, instantly retreating into the darkness, scurrying away like frightened rats. What are you?" Audrey stammered, staring up at his flawless, pale face. "I am the reason monsters check under their beds," Dorian replied softly. He looked down at her, his expression softening just a fraction. "And tonight, I am your escort." He effortlessly guided her toward the open door of the Maybach. "Get in, Audrey." "Where are we going?" she asked, clutching his heavy coat around her, stepping into the warm, incredibly luxurious interior of the vehicle. Dorian slid in next to her, tapping his knuckles against the privacy glass, separating them from the driver. We are going to the Beacon Hill Founders Gala, Dorian said, his smile turning sharp and predatory, revealing a glimpse of slightly elongated canines. Patricia Harrington believes she has successfully disposed of her little problem. I think it's time we showed her exactly what happens when you throw a Montgomery to the wolves, only for her to be caught by a king. The interior of the Maybach was a sanctuary of soundproofed silence, heavily contrasting the raging nor'easter outside. The air smelled of expensive leather and Dorian's intoxicating thunderstorm-like scent. Audrey sank into the heated seats, her shivering gradually subsiding as the heavy cashmere coat enveloped her. Dorian poured a glass of amber liquid from a crystal decanter housed in the console. He handed it to her. Drink. It is a 50-year-old Macallan. It will warm your blood. Audrey took a small sip, the liquid burning a pleasant trail down her throat. She looked at the man sitting opposite her. His luminescent amber eyes were fixed on her with an intensity that made her breath hitch. You called me a Montgomery, Audrey said, finding her voice. And you mentioned a bloodline. My father was just a wealthy real estate developer. What aren't you telling me? Your father, Arthur Montgomery, was an exceptionally brave man, but he was not merely a developer. Dorian explained, his voice smooth and measured. The Montgomerys are one of the oldest human bloodlines in New England. For centuries, your ancestors acted as arbiters, keepers of the peace between the human elite and my kind. Your blood carries a rare, ancient resonance. To a low-level vampire, it is a delicacy. To a desperate woman like Patricia, it is the ultimate currency to pay off a lethal debt. Audrey's mind reeled. Her father's sudden boating accident 3 years ago, the abrupt loss of the family fortune, Patricia's sudden frantic obsession with Boston's ultra-elite social circles. It all started making a sick, twisted kind of sense. She murdered him. Audrey whispered the realization, hitting her like a physical blow. Patricia didn't just inherit his debts. She orchestrated his death to steal his assets. And when she blew through the money, she promised me to those things. The Crimson Syndicate, Dorian confirmed, his jaw tightening. A rogue faction of vampires who operate illegal gambling rings and predatory lending firms out of the Seaport District. Patricia took a loan of $10 million from them to maintain her lavish lifestyle. When she defaulted, they demanded collateral. You. Audrey's grip on the crystal glass tightened until her knuckles turned white. The years of emotional abuse, the endless chores, the ruined dress, it was all a distraction. Patricia had been grooming her for slaughter. Why are you helping me? Audrey asked, looking directly into his glowing eyes. Because the syndicate operates in my city, Dorian said softly, though the menace in his tone was unmistakable. I am the apex of the East Coast. They forgot their place, and your stepmother forgot that stealing a Montgomery is an insult to the crown. We are going to remind them. The Maybach slowed to a halt, but not at the gala. They were parked in the private underground, VIP, loading bay of the Newbury Boston, one of the city's most luxurious hotels. We have exactly 45 minutes before Patricia scans your forged death certificate, metaphorically speaking, at the door of the gala, Dorian said, stepping out and offering his hand. Your current attire is ruined. If you are to walk into that ballroom and destroy her, you must look like a queen doing it. Audrey allowed him to guide her into a private elevator that shot up to the penthouse suite. Waiting inside was a flurry of activity. A team of three women, dressed in impeccable black suits, stood ready alongside racks of breathtaking museum-quality gowns. This is Beatrice, my personal stylist, Dorian said, gesturing to a sharp-eyed woman holding a measuring tape. She has been briefed. You have 30 minutes, Audrey. What followed was a blur of high-end magic. Audrey was rushed into a marble bathroom, where she took a scalding 5-minute shower to scrub the freezing rain from her skin. When she emerged, Beatrice and her team descended upon her. Her wet hair was quickly blown out and pinned into an elegant sweeping updo that exposed the delicate line of her neck. Then came the dress. It was a vintage Alexander McQueen archive piece. The gown was constructed of midnight blue velvet that seemed to absorb the light, featuring a structured corseted bodice that cinched her waist perfectly. The skirt cascaded into a dramatic sweeping train, heavily embroidered with obsidian crystals that looked like fallen stars. To finish the look, Dorian himself entered the dressing room. He held a black velvet Cartier box. Inside rested a necklace that stole Audrey's breath, a heavy platinum chain adorned with a massive, flawless sapphire, surrounded by crushed diamonds. "The Montgomery sapphire," Dorian murmured, stepping behind her. His cold, marble-like fingers brushed against her collarbone as he fastened the heavy jewel around her neck. "It belonged to your great-grandmother. I recovered it from a pawn shop in Cambridge 2 days ago. Patricia sold it for a fraction of its worth." Audrey looked at herself in the floor-to-ceiling mirror. The terrified, soaking-wet girl who had been abandoned on Commonwealth Avenue was gone. In her place stood a woman of power, dripping in velvet and diamonds, standing beside a creature of the night, who looked at her not with hunger, but with profound respect. "Are you ready to reclaim your name, Audrey?" Dorian asked, offering his arm. Audrey lifted her chin, a cold, unfamiliar fire igniting in her chest. "Let's go ruin her life." The Beacon Hill Founders Gala was held in Bates Hall at the Boston Public Library. The historic reading room had been transformed into a scene of unparalleled decadence. Towering floral arrangements of white roses and black orchids sat upon long banquet tables, while a live string quartet played Vivaldi from the balcony. Boston's political titans, Wall Street executives, and old money heiresses mingled under the warm glow of the iconic green-shaded reading lamps, sipping champagne. Near the center of the room, Patricia Harrington was in her element. She wore a gaudy silver sequined gown, laughing loudly at a joke made by a prominent Massachusetts senator. Flanking her were Chloe and Madison, both looking smug and victorious. "It's just such a tragedy," Patricia was saying to the senator, pressing a hand to her chest in mock sorrow. "My poor stepdaughter Audrey. She was stricken with a terrible fever, just as we were leaving the estate. The doctor says she might not make it through the night. It breaks a mother's heart, but she insisted we attend." "How brave of you, Patricia," the senator said sympathetically. "We are just trying to stay strong for her," Chloe chimed in, taking a delicate sip of her champagne. At that exact moment, the heavy oak doors at the entrance of Bates Hall slammed open with a deafening crack that echoed across the vaulted ceilings. The string quartet squeaked to a halt. The low hum of 100 conversations died instantly. Every head in the room turned toward the entrance. Standing in the doorway was Dorian Ashcroft. The sheer, terrifying aura of the billionaire commanded immediate, absolute silence. He was a phantom of the financial world, a man who could crash markets with a phone call, yet no one had seen him in public for a decade. But it was the woman on his arm that sent a shockwave of whispers rippling through the elite crowd. Audrey Montgomery stepped into the light, the Alexander McQueen gown, making her look like a dark, vengeful goddess. The Montgomery sapphire rested heavily on her chest, catching the chandelier light and flashing a brilliant, condemning blue. Patricia's champagne flute slipped from her fingers, shattering against the marble floor. All the color drained from her face, leaving her a sickly, chalky white. "Audrey," Madison stammered, stepping backward into a waiter and sending a tray of hors d'oeuvres crashing to the floor. Dorian and Audrey did not rush. They walked down the center aisle of Bates Hall with a slow, predatory grace. The crowd parted for them, like the Red Sea people practically holding their breath as they passed. They stopped directly in front of Patricia. "Good evening, Patricia," Audrey said, her voice perfectly steady, carrying through the dead, silent hall. "I seem to have recovered from my fever." Patricia's mouth opened and closed like a fish. She looked from Audrey to Dorian, sheer terror finally breaking through her meticulously crafted facade. "Mr. Ashcroft, this is a misunderstanding. Audrey is unwell. She shouldn't be here. The only disease afflicting this woman is the parasite that has attached itself to her family name." Dorian's velvet voice resonated through the room. "A parasite named Patricia." He snapped his fingers. From the shadows near the entrance, two men in sharp suits stepped forward, carrying heavy leather briefcases. They were not human. Their movements were too smooth, their eyes too perfectly still. "Patricia Harrington." Dorian continued, his amber eyes flaring with a dangerous light that made several nearby guests instinctively step back. "You owe $10 million to the Crimson Syndicate. But you see, Patricia, the Syndicate no longer exists. I liquidated their assets an hour ago. That means your debt belongs to me." Patricia let out a strangled gasp, clutching the edge of a table for support. Chloe began to cry, her perfect makeup running down her face. I can pay you," Patricia pleaded, abandoning all dignity. "I have the Montgomery estate. I have the trust funds. I can sign them over to you tonight." "You cannot sign over what you do not own," Dorian said coldly. He gestured to one of his men, who opened the briefcase and pulled out a stack of documents bearing the seal of the State Street Corporation. "These are the financial records you tried to bury. Evidence of wire fraud, embezzlement, and forged signatures regarding the late Arthur Montgomery's will. Your accounts have been frozen by federal authorities as of 10 minutes ago. Your house is currently being seized. You are completely, irrevocably bankrupt." The whispers in the room erupted into a cacophony of scandalized gasps. The High Society of Boston was witnessing the public execution of the Harrington family. "You can't do this!" Chloe shrieked, pointing a trembling finger at Audrey. "She's nothing. She's just a maid." Dorian moved so fast that human eyes couldn't track it. One second he was standing beside Audrey, and the next he was inches from Chloe's face, looming over her with a monstrous, terrifying aura. "Speak to her with that tone again, and I will rip out your tongue and feed it to the stray dogs on Commonwealth Avenue." Dorian whispered to the sound, vibrating with a low, inhuman growl. Chloe whimpered and collapsed to her knees, hiding her face in her hands. Dorian smoothly stepped back to Audrey's side, adjusting his cuffs. He looked down at Patricia, who was now weeping openly, her fake diamonds looking pathetic in the grand hall. "The police are waiting for you outside," Dorian stated. "However, there are also a few former members of the Syndicate waiting in the alley behind the library. They are quite hungry. I suggest you take your chances with the authorities. Run." Patricia didn't need to be told twice. Sobbing hysterically, she grabbed her two daughters by their arms, and the three of them practically crawled over themselves to flee toward the exit, their designer gowns dragging in the spilled champagne. The heavy oak doors closed behind them, leaving a stunned, breathless silence in Bates Hall. Audrey watched them go, a profound sense of closure washing over her. The heavy, suffocating weight she had carried for 3 years evaporated into the air. She was free. Her father was avenged. Her home was hers again. Dorian turned to the bewildered string quartet in the balcony. "Play," he commanded gently. The musicians, terrified but professional, immediately launched into a sweeping romantic waltz. Dorian bowed slightly, offering his hand to Audrey. The amber glow in his eyes had softened, replaced by a deep, ancient affection. May I have this dance, Miss Montgomery? Audrey looked at the hand that had pulled her from the freezing rain, the hand that had restored her empire and crushed her enemies in a single night. She placed her hand in his, stepping into his arms. You may, Mr. Ashcroft. Audrey smiled the Montgomery sapphire glowing brilliantly against her chest. As they swept across the marble floor of the Boston Public Library, surrounded by the awestruck elite, Audrey knew her life would never be simple again. She was bound to a creature of the night, a king of shadows. But as he pulled her closer, his cold embrace felt like the safest place in the world. Did you love this dramatic twist of fate? If Audrey's revenge and the Vampire King's dark romance kept you on the edge of your seat, hit that like button, share this story with your friends who can't get enough of supernatural drama and billionaire rescues. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more thrilling stories, dark secrets, and epic romances uploaded every single week. Drop a comment below on what you want to see next.